So, you know, just as I say, it just falls into place when I started looking at chapter 12 and it spoke about giving our lives as a living sacrifice. I thought, well, I'll go back to the Old Testament and start looking at all the different types of sacrifices there were and what they meant and how God accepted them and why he called for them. But what I'd like to say about sacrifices is that what God calls for now is for us to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. Let's start reading. I'm going to just expand as I read, but we'll do the whole of chapter 12 today of Romans. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I appeal to you therefore, brothers. And why is he appealing? It's because he has just gone through seven chapters where he explains that salvation is by grace through faith, not by works, but by grace. And it is important for us to understand that. So he says, now that we know that, he appeals to us by the mercies of God to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So it's important for us to understand that what God wants us to do is to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, dead sacrifices don't mean much. They can't do anything. They were a forerunner of what Jesus did. Russell, please, my brother, can I ask you to keep quiet? Okay? Otherwise, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. You've been here long enough to understand that now this is the time of ministry and you must please keep quiet, okay? Thank you. Where was I? Yeah, God is wanting us to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, what he wants us to do is to sacrifice ourselves. And now that is a big question. I ask myself, Lord, what do you mean be a living sacrifice? And that just means that we have got to die to self. And we must put others before ourselves. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. He came along in obedience to God the Father. By his own confession, he says, I don't do anything on my own. I do what the Father shows me to do. Isn't that great? Jesus did nothing for himself. He did only what the Father showed him to do. In other words, he was a living sacrifice. He didn't care what he wanted. He didn't care about his needs. He never put his needs first once in his life. He put the needs of others. His whole purpose was to come and die for us. Just imagine that. He came knowing that he was going to die that incredible death. Because remember, he knew everything. He knew what was going to happen. He knew about every lash that was going to hit his back. He knew about the fact that they were going to pluck his beard out. Let me tell you now, if you pull one beard ear out, you want to scream with pain. Never mind having a handful plucked out. So Jesus knew. He knew exactly what his purpose in life was. And I want to ask us guys, let us put on the mind of Christ. Let us have that same attitude that Jesus has. Let's do nothing out of selfish gain, but for others. We've got to learn to die to self. What do I want to do tomorrow? Oh, I tell you. I want to sit down. I've got some stamps to send to Israel. I've got some stamps to send to Malta. And I've got my project, my aquaponic project that I want to get on with. I've just got so much to do. And but you know, I've got to find something to do for God tomorrow. I've got to put myself aside. I've got to sit down and find some time, especially as a minister, I've got to find some time where I can just spend some time with God to find out what I need to give you guys, where I need to what I need to feed you. It's so important. This verse 1 says that it is your spiritual worship. You know, guys, today we only sang two songs, but we had a half an hour of body ministry where we ministered to one another, where we were in worship. And you see, that's what's so important for us to understand. Is, you know, just singing a couple of songs isn't really worship. What we did this morning was praise. Maybe a couple of you really entered into worship. But we were praising this morning. But what we did when we made time to listen to one another and to pray for one another, that's worship. That's laying down our lives for others. We stopped the whole service to pray for a couple of people. Isn't that great? That's what Jesus would do. He'd stop the whole crowd and say, listen, somebody has touched me. And the disciples said, hey, Lord, please, the people are crowding around you. And you ask, who's touched me? And you see, that's what Jesus would do. He would stop the whole thing and say, listen, somebody has touched me. And then heal that person and forgive their sins. Are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to stop our agenda? Are we prepared to put a hold to our agenda and do what God wants us to do? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do we do that? The Word says we do that by washing our mind in the Word. We read the Word, and the Word washes our minds. And believe me, my mind needs lots of washing. Don't about yours. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable to God. And how is this done? It says by the transforming and the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. And we had a testimony today that God spoke to, can I use your name because we're taping? Jenny came to a decision. She's not going to worry about the circumstances. She's just going to leave it to God and just trust Him. You know, that is just such an incredible thing, because she's at a trial and she realizes nothing she can do about it. But what she does realize is that she can leave it to Jesus. Let Him have His way. And you see, that is good and acceptable to God. Instead of Jenny taking it up and wanting to sort it out herself, she has just said, Lord, You've got to do it. And I'm telling you, that's the only way to deal with problems. Because normally they are of a type where we cannot deal with them ourselves. Where we cannot change one circumstance. We can't change one second of the past, and we cannot influence one second of the future, but God can. For by grace, this is verse 3, for by grace given to me, I say to everyone amongst you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned. I've been trying to tell you guys this all along, you know. I'm not the most important guy, yeah. Really, I'm just doing, as the Word says, you'll see later on, it says, if you teach, you must teach with consistency and with encouragement and with enthusiasm. So what your ministry is, you must do. And let me tell you, there's an opportunity for somebody to come and lead, start the service. Lead us into worship. Choose the songs. There's an opportunity. And let me tell you now, we will stand with you. I stutter. I can hardly read three lines without making a mistake. You guys don't laugh at me. Nobody's ever ridiculed me. And I thank you guys for that. So if you want to do something, you do it. We'll support you, because that's what it's all about. It's about the body. Let me tell you, I know so many preachers that stutter and just like me that can hardly read. But let me tell you, when the anointing takes over, you don't recognize, you don't hear a stutter. You don't hear anything. You don't see anything. You just hear the Lord Jesus because of the anointing. And that's what I'm asking you guys to do, is to allow the anointing to take over. You see, because sometimes we run ahead of ourselves. Sometimes we think, like I do, I've got a message about the end times that nobody else believes, and I want to run away with it. See, what I must do is just relax. And trust God to show you guys too. Amen. Verse 4 says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." I just think that's so great. Of course, Paul elaborates this in 1 Corinthians, but he just says it here very, very quickly, that we're all members of one body, the one body of Christ, and that we are members of one another. Members of one another. You see, that's the beauty of it, is because God has made us part of the body of Christ, we are members of one another. The same Holy Spirit invigorates us all. The same Holy Spirit renews us all. The same Holy Spirit washes our minds. The same Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do what we do. We are members one of another. Verse 6 says, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to you, let us use them." Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. I can't stress that verse enough. You have been given gifts. You have been given gifts. And I love what John says, that if we know that Joe Soap is a mechanic, we can say, "Joe, I'm just going to bring my car around just so you can listen to this noise, and he can give you advice." Or if you've got financial problem and you know another brother has got expertise in financial things, that we can help one another, because that's what the body is supposed to do, to help one another. Use our gifts according to the grace. If prophecy, then prophesy in proportion to our faith. If service, then serve one another. You know, so often we don't see these things as gifts of God. Service, just to give you an example. And I know there's guys that can prophesy. I know that there's people here that have been baptized wonderfully in the Holy Spirit that can use the gift of prophecy. Don't be shy, guys. Don't be shy. This is where you must use that gift. This is where that gift must be used. Service. It was just so great to see so many people turn up the other Saturday for us to do a spring cleaning of the church. You see, that's what I never heard one of them complaining. I never heard one of them wanting anything. They just did it because they loved us. And I just think that's so great. Serving is a wonderful gift. The one who teaches, he must teach with enthusiasm. One who exhorts, an exhortation, I looked at this word, it's an old English word, but it just means to encourage or to stimulate, encourage one another. We've heard about how people have encouraged Ray this morning, and how Jenny was encouraged. It's important for us to do that. And it is a gift, guys. It is a gift. By the Holy Spirit leads you. I just know that there are people that look after other people in the body. I just think that's just so great, because it's a gift of service and a gift of encouragement and stimulation. We need to do that. And there's a gift of gifts, of giving, of sharing. You've got to do that enthusiastically. Giving. You see, some of us think that we've got nothing to give. We think when it comes to giving, we think it's got to be financial. It doesn't have to be financial, guys. Give your time in prayer. You can give your time to come and do anything. There's many, many ways you can give. You just got to do it prayerfully. Seek God's face. Die to self. Find something that you can give. You got to contribute generously when you give. And the one who leads, got to lead well, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, must do so cheerfully. So Paul, in a nutshell, gives us all that teaching in 1 Corinthians. Verse 9 comes to the real crux of the matter, because 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says there are three things that remain: hope, love, and faith, and of course love is the greatest. And yeah, in verse 9 he says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Good advice. If you love genuinely. Don't do things because you want to impress others. Do things because of your love for them. The love that God gave you. You see, Rob Sefton is not capable of love. Really, he's not. Only Jesus in me is capable of love. And that's the thing. You see, we need to love one another with the love of Jesus and hold fast unto what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Wow. You know, sometimes we feel that only the people that deserve honor must be honored. But Paul tells us here in our daily walk, because that's what it's all about. It's about our daily walk. We want to get ready for Jesus' second coming. So what must we do? We must walk this daily walk where we are doing all these things, giving our lives as a living sacrifice. And that's what it means, is to honor those. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. In other words, Jesus says, those that are the least will be the greatest. Isn't that quite opposite to what the world says? You know, if you want to be great, strand on everybody, push people out the way, outdo them in any way you can. But Jesus says, no, if you want to be the greatest in heaven, you've got to be the least here on earth. You've got to be the servant. You've got to wash people's feet. And that's how you honor them, is by washing their feet, saying, look, you know, you're better than me. I need to serve you. Debbie and I went to a church to listen to Malcolm Heading in London once, and the minister of the church just opened up for us in prayer, and he said that he introduced himself as the chief servant. He was the minister. He said, I'm the chief servant at this church, which was just such an eye-opener. Guys, the day I stop serving you, you must kick me out. Find somebody else. That's the way it should work. So I hope I am serving you in the little way that God has given me to serve, and that is to teach you guys. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Quite a mouthful. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. In other words, walk in the Spirit all the time, not in the flesh. Serve the Lord. Remember, how do I serve Jesus? I can't. Jesus isn't sitting here that I can run and go make him a cup of coffee and offer him a biscuit and or offer him a lift home. He's not here. But you are here. You are here. Let me tell you now, there's Jesus in every single one here. So it doesn't matter who you serve, you're serving Jesus. Please have that mindset, guys. No matter who you're serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in the things of the future. Rejoice in the fact that Jesus said that he is going to prepare a place for us and he's coming to fetch us. He's coming to fetch us, guys. No matter when he comes, whether it's before, during, or after the tribulation, he's coming. And we must rejoice in that hope, guys. Rejoice in it. Be patient in tribulation, because you're going to need that patience during the tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Quite a difficult thing again, you know, just like giving your life as a living sacrifice, to be constant in prayer. What does that mean? It just means that just have a heart open to the Holy Spirit. You know, just say, Lord, I'm driving down the high street, but and it looks as if there's no parking here. Please, can I have a parking? You know, just pray about everything and anything, and you will see God doing miracles. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Hospitality is a gift which I believe is very evident in this church. I don't want to mention names, but I can just see all these ladies just being so hospitable. Really, I just thank God for you guys often, because I can see how hospitable you are. Well, there are some hospitable men, but you know, it's really the ladies that excel in this gift. They are the ones that make people feel at home. They are the ones that go out of their way, especially on a Wednesday, serving people that they don't know. That's what it's all about. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Anybody in your life giving you a hard time at the moment? Bless them. Yesterday morning, Debbie and I got in my car and somebody had broken my mirror out of its holding. And I didn't get cross. I was really pleased with myself. Just said, Lord, bless them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It's about coming alongside one and somebody. It's about just being there with somebody in the time of their rejoicing, or in their time of need, or their time of sorrow. It's just about coming alongside them. You know, sometimes, well, how can I put this? I'll just say it straight. I don't believe in entertaining pity parties. We find some Christians, they just, oh, woe is me, I'm this and that, that's happening, and the other thing is happening, and yet all they need to do is to remember that Jesus has said he'll never leave or forsake them. They don't need me to come and quote 10,000 scriptures to them. They got the Holy Spirit in them. And you see, that's the thing. It detracts from this scripture where it says that we have got to rejoice with others and we've got to mourn with others. It doesn't say that we must get others to come and mourn with us and rejoice with us. It says that we've got to do it. We've got to be the active party, guys. And you can't be the active party if you're sitting under sackcloth and ashes. Shake off those sackcloth and ashes. If you've been mourning Jesus, says, and you've anointed your hair with oil, wash it so that nobody knows that you're fasting, so that you can be all things to others. Should be between you and the Lord, but you need to be there for others, not others be there for you. John Leone is okay. Can you see that this is a difficult message for me to preach, because I'm not these things. I'm not always there for others. And I may be wrong. Maybe I should entertain pity parties. But that's not what I see in the Word. It's not what I see in the Word. The Word doesn't say that. The Word says that we must be there for others, not others be there for us. You see, otherwise we cripple the body. If we are not being there for others, you know, it's just so great, because the way I read this scripture, all of you guys should be looking after me. You guys should be sorting my needs out. And if that happens, I'll have no needs. And if all of us do what, as the Word says, look after Carl, Carl will have no needs, because we're all looking after it. You see, that's what I read in the Word. That's how the body operates. I cut my finger yesterday, and you know, it wasn't sore when I cut it, and then I went to work, and when I got into bed last night, and it's all nice and quiet, then my finger started throbbing. And then pity old me, I called Debbie to get the cream to put on my finger. But you see, that's what happens. You see, we need to forget about ourselves. We need to get other. We need to be looking after others. And I mean, that's a silly example, but I mean, it was. When I got into bed and all was quiet, and you're trying to fall asleep, all you feel is this thud, thud, thud in your finger. And if you look at it, you can't even see that I cut it. That's how silly it is, you see. And that's it. You know, once we give our problems to the Lord, and we wake up the next morning, we think, you know, that was so silly for me to worry about that. Because God knows, and He sorted it out. But we need to look after one another, guys. You know, I do sometimes wake up with a bit of depression, and I feel a bit down and out. And I just got to pull myself towards myself and say, listen, Rob, you're no good to nobody in the frame of mind you're in now. So let's just put a smile on your face and try and do some good. And I'll tell you afterwards. Okay. Where were we? Weep with others. Live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another. Boy, oh boy. Debbie and I, we lived in a communal house when we first got saved. There was, at one stage of us, there was 13 of us there. And it was great. But let me tell you, there was always somebody had left something out, or dishes weren't done, or there was something, somebody was noisy. But you know, the thing is, we've got to live in harmony with one another. And how do we do that? So it's a bit noisy. So you don't worry about yourself. Just let it go. Forgive. Me with a half hour. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil with evil. Give, though, to do what is honorable. Give, please help me. Can't think of that word today. So in other words, do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everybody. And obviously we know that, for instance, a jihadi that wants to chop your head off no matter what you say or do, even if you confess your faith in Allah, he's still going to chop your head off. So there are things that we cannot do to live honorably with everybody, peaceably with everybody. But as far as it is possible, as it depends on you, not that it depends on the other person, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Never avenge yourselves. In other words, what I read from this is, if you forgive the person, you've got nothing to avenge yourself on. And also, if you don't take offense, I read very interesting thing on Facebook. It said that something to the line of, if you take offense to what somebody said, then you must honor them as a person. Otherwise, why take what they say as an offense? But I say, why take anything as offense? Just forgive them. Doesn't matter. It's no skin off my nose, no matter what you call me or what you say I've done. Because the Lord knows. He's the one that judges, and He is the one who needs to be made peace with. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. To the contrary, if any enemy is hungry, feed him. If thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, we will heap coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't that a great chapter? Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Guys, if we want to be ready for when Jesus comes, we've got to live the life that Christ lived. We have got to put others first and ourselves second. We've got to die to self so that the Holy Spirit may live in us. We have got to make sure that we treat others better than we treat ourselves. Yeah, just to give you an example, Debbie and I went to the local Y Vale to go and have a look at the fish stuff because I'm going to have a big fish tank in my garden. And I saw that they're having a big sale on coats. So I said, Debbie, let's go to Y Vale so we can have a look at the coats. So Debbie goes there not thinking that I want to buy her one. She's thinking that she wants to buy me one and I want to buy her one. And I mean, that's the perfect thing. So I took her there to buy her one. In the meantime, she's accompanying me so that she can buy me one. And that's how it should be, you see. We shouldn't be thinking about ourselves. I wasn't thinking about myself going there. I was going to go and buy Debbie a nice coat. And she said, oh, well, I'll come with you so that you can buy yourself a nice coat. So there we're standing in Wild Vale arguing about who's going to buy a coat, me or her. So silly, you know, but it's a good example to show that we mustn't be wanting things for ourselves all the time, but think good things for the other person. I didn't need one, so I didn't get one. Nor did Debbie, really. But you know, the thing is, guys, this is a hard thing for us to do. We will never do it in the flesh. You've got to be in the Spirit. You have got to have renewed your mind in the Word. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We've got to worship every second of the day by giving our lives as a spiritual worship. Don't be transformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. And guys, we've got to start thinking spiritually. The only way we can be everything that God wants us to be is to be walking in the Spirit. Every day. All day. And that is not if you feel like it. That's what we're commanded to do. The Bible says, renew your mind. Renew your mind. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your ability to transform a man's life from the inside out. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't want to deal with this flesh. You just crucified it with Jesus. And we're new creatures. And Lord, all that is possible by this table. Your word says that we